Welcome to the Bring Your Book to Life podcast that turns your authorship dreams into reality, one chapter at a time. I'm Andrea Seidel, your host and personal book doula. Think of this podcast as your all-in-one guide to authorship. I'm here as your compassionate friend, your creative supporter, and the compass through the authorship journey. With my gentle nudges and unwavering support, I'm here for you from the spark of inspiration to the joyful delivery of your book. Are you ready for this page-turning adventure? Welcome to Bring Your Book to Life. Hey there, authors and expectant authors. Welcome to Bring Your Book to Life podcast powered by me, the book doula, and also Live Life Happy Publishing, where we believe writing books should be fun, impactful, and accessible. So I'm your host, Andrea Seidel, and today I am so super excited. I'm holding up a book. If you're listening to the podcast, you can't see it, but today is Author Journey Day. So this is where we have incredible authors come on the show. And today we have none other than Leanna Cancian joining us. And she has created a life-changing book that, oh my gosh, is going to help so many people. It's called Shining Through, Finding the Perfect Harmony Between Heartache and Hope While Navigating the Journey of Raising Children with Special Needs. Thank you so much for being on the show, Leanna.
Thank you for having me. I'm super pumped and excited.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So where do we start? Because your book is so touching and has blown me away in so many ways. It's been such a pleasure working with you. And I knew that this would be an incredible addition to the Live Life Happy Publishing repertoire of inspiring books. So can we just start like from the beginning? Like what inspired you to write this book?
Well, as you had mentioned, I'm a mother of four children, and my second one has special needs. So it's been a lifelong journey, I guess, parenting. Her name is Olivia. My second one is Olivia. Parenting her and just going through the ups and downs of life, of raising a child with special needs. It had its own hurdles. So I just felt... Let me go back for a second. I have four children. So the oldest one is Julian, who's 20. Then you've got Olivia, who is 18. Then there's a seven-year gap. And I'll explain that in my book, why there's a gap. And then I've got two other little ones that are 11 and 9. And it's that seven-year gap that has, I guess, allowed me to really take a deep breath and say, you know what, I think I need to keep or create a legacy for these children, but more specifically for my younger children who have no idea what life was like prior to them, going through the ups and downs and raising a child with special needs at such a young age and not really knowing how to go, where to go or what to do. So this book is a definitely it's a legacy left for my children so that when I'm gone in the next world, they've got something to live by that gives them some kind of meaning when they're going through hardships and they're going through trials of parenting. It'll be their guide to teach them, I guess, resilience and compassion and to know that there is glimmers of hope and lining, silver linings in every dark tunnel or anytime they're in their deepest despair, there's always an opportunity to see the light. And that's that light that helps you kind of propel forward and to keep going. So that was my intention. And obviously, if it can help any families along that path of grief, whether they're at the beginning stages of diagnosis or somewhere in the middle, if it can provide them any kind of feelings of, I guess, encouragement or feelings of just making them feel like they're not alone, that's my hope as well. If it can help anyone along the way.
Oh my gosh, I love all of this. And I love that one of the major reasons that you were inspired to write this book is to leave a legacy and to offer hope and support for others that might be going through such struggles, right? Or feeling, you know, that they need a little bit of hope or a lot of hope or this inspiration from you. And so I just, you know, I'm absolutely floored by your courage in your ability to share and kind of like go right down to your experiences. And I just want to celebrate your vulnerability. And a lot of times people, when they're writing a book, they're like, like I'm literally exposing my whole entire family and my story to the world. And so I just want to celebrate your vulnerability and showing up because I obviously I've read your whole entire book and it really is an open door into your world, like your emotions and the struggles, the true struggles that you went through and have continued to go through, the ups and downs of your life while navigating this journey of raising a child with special needs. And so I just, you know, it's amazing how that idea of me too, it's like, it makes people feel like they're not alone. And I just, I love that in throughout your whole entire book, shining through, you really do have this message or this common thread through the whole entire book of, holy cow, if Leanna can do it, I can do it. It's like your strength that comes through in all your stories is so powerful. And also in just you sharing the sheer struggles that you've gone through, it allows people to see like, okay, I'm not alone in this. This is hard. So I'm curious, what is it that you hope that the reader will get out of your book?
Well, I hope the reader will get, again, you kind of just said it, I can repeat it again, that, you know, they're not alone. That, you know, this life that we were kind of, we didn't choose to live this life. We didn't choose to have a child with special needs, but it was brought towards us. And it's a matter of how we accept it and move forward and propel forward. I'm hoping that they realize that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And although my tunnel is like, I still deal with grief on a daily. I mean, my daughter still has seizures almost daily. So I can't say to you that my story ends happily. I still struggle with it every day, but it's how do we keep going in a busy family with a lot of different demands being pulled at you? I think it's just being confident and honest with yourself. Knowing that, or knowing when to ask for help. Help was a big thing for me, I guess, in the book, I do talk about it, is accepting the unacceptable and knowing when it's time to get help. And that's huge because it took me 14 years to truly accept that Olivia needed more than just me. I mean, she always had help along the way, whether it was teachers or assistants or therapists, but to truly take on the task of having to take care of her, you know, pretty much 24/7 when I wasn't around, that was a tough pill to swallow. So it's accepting the unacceptable, the fact that it goes beyond us. It does take a community to raise these children. And we do need to kind of open our minds to, yes, no one isn't as great as us. Obviously, the parents are the best. They're the ones that, you know, want the best for them. But there are other people that are just as qualified and actually in some times they're actually even better at dealing with hardship or dealing with struggles, especially when it's not their child. So they look at it from a different light and they provide you respite. And at the end of the day, we all need respite as parents because we're tired and we're exhausted. And we just sometimes don't see straight anymore. And we just need that bit of a break to step away, have somebody who is knowledge, who is skilled in that field to actually take time and work with them. And that to me helped me a lot, is the fact of having helpers around, having friends and family who always supported me, encouraged me, you know, when I wasn't feeling my best, a spouse who always encouraged me and actually believed in me. He always believed that my decisions or what the decisions we made for her were always the best ones. So having his kind of my own cheerleader and having him support whatever decisions we made it easier for me. But yeah, at the end of the day, like I said, it's more a matter of real raw stories of grief and heartache and how do we just keep going and keep moving forward while still living in it. So coexisting with grief, coexisting with heartache, and just finding that silver lining in every single hardship or every single hurdle that you're dealing with, trying to find that little silver lining that gives you that little bit of energy to just keep going. And it could be as meaningless as it could be something like music. It could be a therapist that comes into the home. It could be, for me, it was also nature, living in the country and having her walk outside and see the birds and the butterflies. To her, that was a respite that was beyond imaginable. So finding those little bits of glimmers of hope that allow you to keep going.
Oh my gosh, you raised so many amazing things. And I just The other thing that I love about your book is what you've included in it is like your story, yes, but then also sharing your vulnerability and the need to reach out for support, and the fact that you did look around for all your resources and to just that one foot in front of the other, keep going. And that's really what your story is. It amazes me as your story unfolds and how you were able to articulate chronologically, basically how you were walking through navigating the, and I love the way you talk about it, is accepting the seemingly unacceptable and just putting one foot in front of the other. And just like your story is an example of what's possible, but also it's so encouraging because like you're saying is like to reach out for support, to be recognized that yes, you can't take this whole entire weight of all of this on your shoulders, and that there are times where we do need to reach out to support, to friends, to family members and others and professionals that can help us, because we can't do this alone. And I just love that your book does really advocate for that and does help people, the readers who might be struggling as well, just see the, you know, the humanness in it, that, you know, that we try to, you know, take it all on ourselves, and that is just, you know. And so I love this, the message in your book. So as you were writing your book, and of course there's a lot of people listening to this podcast and this interview that are thinking of writing a book, and they're on the fence of like sharing their vulnerability, what message would you give to them? How did you get started? How did you kind of get past that barrier of sharing that vulnerability?
I think it starts with coming clear with your ideas and what it is. So I've always journaled. That was one thing that I've done since I was a kid. I've always loved writing, and I would journal things. And every time I wasn't amazing at it. I mean, I didn't do it every night, but I would try my hardest when things were tough and rough. I would sit down and journalize them. So having those journals really helped me. It helped me to really remember certain moments in time that, you know, now when I think about it, they're blurs to me. But if I didn't have those things written down, it sparked those experiences back in my head. So I think it's taking those journals, taking those ideas, taking those guilty thoughts that you have in your head, and just putting them on paper. And I think when you put them on paper in black and white, and you get into your rawness, like into the most raw form of your emotions, they come to life. And I find that when you see it on paper, you actually now have to own it. You have to own those words that you wrote. So it's one thing to think it, but when you actually sit down and actually start writing, so I created, like you said, a chronological order. It was easier. I'm kind of an A-type personality, so I'm very organized. So I started with kind of me and myself, like growing up, and then meeting my husband, and then going through the process after having Olivia, and then the 17 years pretty much till current date. So that was easy for me to chronologically put an order to my thoughts and my stories. And then, like I said, kind of giving them life. When you actually start putting it on paper, you actually envision yourself and you actually go through those moments again, which at times, I'll be honest, was very difficult. But it was a cathartic journey, and I enjoyed every minute of it. I enjoyed every minute of going through those emotions. Again, like I said, owning them and then rising above. So now when I look back, I actually feel empowered that we actually went through those things. And I look at my husband, I said, wow, can you imagine? Can you believe all the things we actually went through in these 17 years? You don't realize it until you put it on paper. So it's kind of creating a life of its own. So we all have stories. It's just a matter of taking the time to write it down, right?
I love it. And it's so fun that you bring it up, that it actually was exciting for you. And I remember in some of our meetings as well, you'd be like, oh my gosh, I'm having so much fun with this. Like it's such, and it was bringing up a lot for you, but it was like a part of processing it. And then knowing that it's going to, you're sharing it with the world, and knowing that it's going to help people really is, I remember, a lot of the driving force behind you, because you are such an inspiration. So I know my favorite parts about the book is this interwoven aspects of lessons learned, or kind of your take. It's almost like you have your story, but you also have almost like what I wish I knew, or here's what I learned, or like you have a lot of that interwoven into your book, which is so powerful for the reader. And that's one of my favorite parts. For you, do you have a favorite quote, a part, a passage about your book that really resonates with you personally?
I talk a lot about juggling grief with gratitude. And that is, I find, that's a tough one for me, because you want so much to be grateful. And there is actually a quote that I have here. If you just give me a moment. So it's juggling grief with gratitude. So this is a quote from a great writer named Francis Weller. He wrote a book on grief. So he wrote this: "The work of the mature person is to carry grief in one hand and gratitude in the other, and to be stretched large by them. How much sorrow can one hold? That's how much gratitude I can give. So this quote really depicts my life. I mean, we're supposed to be juggling grief with gratitude. What they're saying is they should be equals in your hands, and one should not be more than the other. So unfortunately, when you get a diagnosis, the hand that's carrying the grief is overflowing. And you're feeling grief of everything, the life that you feel like you lost, the life that she lost, the future that you think is completely unknown, that she might not ever get married or live on her own, that you're going to have to, take on the duty of having to care for her probably till, they were quite old and gray. So it's definitely not a life that you kind of signed up for as a parent. And then all the things that you lose throughout the days, like just day to day. And then the gratitude part is the hard part. It's how do you fill this hand with gratitude when you're so angry, at least in the early stages, when you're angry and you feel that you got the really bad end of the stick. So that took time. And it doesn't happen, I think, overnight. It took years for me to fill that hand with gratitude. And that really is, you stop and you look around and you say, okay, I've got my health. I've got friends and family who will do anything for us. We've got a great support system. We've got excellent teachers in place here that, that inspire Olivia every day, that make her life full and happy. We've got caregivers. So those are all things that we kind of oversee, but we don't realize that those are things that we should be very grateful. Again, it's not an easy balance. It does take time, but until you see the things that you're grateful for, it allows you to really create that balance. So at the end of the day, it says that you have to have that balance in order to be happy, because if that balance is off, if one is off, it actually offsets the other, and then it just collapses. So I think that's where people end up in really bad situations, when they just can't seem to balance the two. So I just love that quote, and I love the whole balancing grief with gratitude, and I use that a lot, or I say it a lot throughout the book in different ways. The title, balancing heartache with hope. At the end of the day, we're all in pain and we're all suffering and we're all in grief every day. When you have a child with special needs, it doesn't end. It's a long life of grieving. So how do we grieve, coexist with grief, and keep going? Because we're not bearing the grief. Like, the grief doesn't end. It's a kind of a life sentence. So that's, I guess, the biggest thing is, how do we keep going while grieving every day? So I talk about that in the book quite often.
Yeah, I love that interwoven. What a beautiful way to approach grief. And also giving yourself that, I love that you opened this up to giving yourself permission to be human in the fact that you are experiencing that emotion of grief without any shame, without any, stigma around it. Your book really does give the reader permission to experience grief, but then, okay, so given this grief, how can we have also gratitude coincide with this? How can we also have joy in our life coincide with this grief? And so I love that common theme. And oftentimes in the writing process too, is that we come up with those common themes of what we want to integrate into our books. Is there anything else that you want to share with the listener of what you integrated into your book, a common theme throughout your entire book?
I think it's teaching our other children or family members to be compassionate. So that was, like I said, this was a legacy for my children, but really at the end of the day, the take-home message is for them and for everybody, anybody reading who isn't maybe touched with special needs, to have compassionate for these individuals. I did a whole section of understanding the misunderstood. They truly are understood in society. My daughter is nonverbal, so she can't speak, but her eyes are the gateway to her soul. And unless you know her and work with her, you can understand that. So unfortunately, a lot of these children or adults get misunderstood. They just get, you know, they go through life and nobody truly understands the complexities that they deal with day to day. So it's teaching my family, teaching my children to become super passionate and compassionate individuals, to understand people beyond what they look like, and to just take the moment to understand them as individuals in society, right? We all have a purpose, a really big purpose. It's taking the moment to understand what each, what everybody's purpose is, or at least understanding your own purpose. So, so compassion is a big one. I always said, if I could leave one lesson for my children when I'm gone in the next life, is compassion. If they can become compassionate individuals in life and in society, I truly think they'll be successful in anything they do.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. And what a beautiful opportunity for growth and learning and healing that is birthed out of a really challenging situation. And to use your words, how you said a life sentence almost, it's like, how can I make the best of this? How can I be resilient through this? What good things can be birthed out of this? And I love that this is a common theme throughout your book, and that how great is it that, you know, there's so much that the ripple effect of the impact of this on your children, and like the growth potential that comes with that is so great. I love the feeling of positivity and optimism alongside some of the shadows that you have that as a common theme in your book. It's so powerful, and it just really is uplifting for the reader because it offers hope. And so I just want to celebrate that. And okay, so today is the day. So if you're listening to this podcast, today is the launch day for Shining Through, Leanna Cancian's book. And I'm so excited. I'm curious, what has happened so far? Like, have you had any surprises with publishing your book, or what has been the most exciting things? I know a lot of the things, you have your daughter opening the Amazon bag and kind of like, yeah, pulling out the book. It's so cute. But for you, what has been the most impactful or exciting for you in this publishing process?
I think seeing your story on paper and actually seeing it published in a book is a mix of emotions. I mean, I'm absolutely thrilled and over the moon that it actually made it to a book. But I'm also extremely, I don't know what the word is, but I think it's just a little bit nervous and uncomfortable, because you're really opening yourself, your soul, to the world, for the world to see. And for so long, I've been hiding my dignity. Like, we're hiding whatever dignity we have left behind the shield of, we just don't want to burden anybody. We don't want to, you know, we don't want others to feel the pain that we're feeling. We kind of want to carry it on our own. So that part of being open to the world and having them take a peek in of what we actually went through is a little bit, a little scary. But I guess with that, like at the end of the day, if it helps families in their struggles, then to me, it's definitely worth it. My kids are so nice to see my kids excited that their mom, you know, published a book. They're all excited that they all got a chapter. And again, my little ones, I don't think they're quite ready to read the book yet, I'll be very honest with you. But my older one and my husband read the book, and they all felt they were taken back. They said there was a lot of areas there that they didn't know, I guess, about me or how I felt. So it basically digs into, I guess, deeper into their mom and how their mom felt during this whole process. And again, it teaches us, all of us, to be a little more compassionate, right? So we're all excited. We're all very excited. We're very pumped. Friends and family, they've all bought copies already, and I'm getting pictures of them opening up the book. I think last weekend was the official weekend that I think about, there was about 20 people reading my book all at the same time. So that was kind of funny. So every morning I would get like a message from two or three different people saying, this was the most powerful chapter, or this was the most powerful chapter. So that's amazing to see how everyone's reading your story and they're all having different takes on it, right? And they all kind of relate to a different part of the book. So that's been amazing. That's been amazing. So, and I'm really sad, to be honest with you, that the writing process is over, because it was so fun. I wish I could do it again. So I,
well, I don't see you ever stop writing. I think that maybe there's a follow-up book or something in the works for you. But I just want to celebrate your accomplishment and your vulnerability again with the world and putting yourself out there, because you never know whose life you're going to touch with your book. So I also want to bring up the part of the book creation journey is the cover creation. And yeah. It was so fun working with you because you had such a clear vision for your cover. And this is so amazing, the image that you've put on this. Can you speak to, you know, how you came up with the concept for your cover and your amazing image of this? It's a brain and it has beautiful rainbows on the one side. There's butterflies and there's all these like images here. And nothing excites me more when the author like takes concepts of their books and sticks it on the cover. And then as you read the book, you realize, oh, that's why that's there. So can you speak to your cover?
Yeah, absolutely. So this was a work in progress. And I have to say, I have to give a lot of acknowledgement to my daughter, Lauren. She's my third child. She's 11, quite bright. And she drew this picture. She actually drew it out with her pencil and paper, and she put it on paper and it was stunning. It would look very similar to this. And she basically said, Mom, I think this is what we should do. We should hold the brain. Like she kind of depicted this whole picture. So we just took it from there and we just made it even, you know, a little bit more depictive of the book. But what it is basically is the left side of her brain, the dark side of her brain is basically the dark parts of her world. Olivia lives in darkness, probably, you know, 3/4 of her existence, unfortunately, due to seizures and due to the fact that they're just, you know, she just lives in haze and fog. And, you know, you take one step forward and 3 steps back. Unfortunately, that's the existence of living with seizures and epilepsy. So all the dark parts of her brain are all those little symbols inside that brain are things that we have gone through and are explained in the book. A Colorado flag, our trip to Colorado, there's a marijuana plant there. That is her medicine. Hospital bed, so her surgery. So there's a lot of things on that left side that depict all the things that we've gone through in life that were struggles for us, that we coped with. And then on the right side of the brain, of course, is the rainbows and everything that is gives bright, makes her shine, that allows her to shine through, as I say on the book. So all the wonderful things like we've got flowers and we've got music and we've got caregivers and we've got the butterfly. And so that is something that at the end of the book, I kind of do a heartfelt tribute to Olivia and I say, I basically wish for her that in her next life, that she comes back as a butterfly, that she's soaring up above the world in brightness outside of the haze and fog and seeing life in a whole new dimension and just being free, free of seizures and darkness and being able to just see the world in a different light. So that's my hope for Olivia. But at the end of the day, the bright side or the right side of the brain is all the wonderful things that have allowed her to flourish and shine through. And then the hand resemble all anybody that loves her and cares for her. So her parents, her caregivers, her family, therapists, teachers, they all represent through the hands that hold the brain. So my daughter was quite I thought it was intelligent that she came up with that picture. And then we just kind of went with that. So so I give her all the credit.
And I just want to celebrate the title of your book too, and shining through, and that it really does depict that. And it's just so beautiful and touching and on so many levels. And isn't it interesting that the whole common thread through your book is navigating grief with gratitude. And it's almost like your cover image does depict that really, really well. So what do you hope, like as a final kind of thought, like what do you hope that the readers will remember most from your book long after that they've read it?
I think at the end of the day, it's to be resilient. I mean, I know we use that word very loosely in life, you know, we need to be resilient, but I think at the end of the day, raising these children, they test us day after day. And it's building that tough skin, that resilience that we build as parents, not necessarily parents with special needs, but any parent that has a child, they build that resilience through parenting. So I think what I hope for this book is that when parents are going through their grief and their darkest moments where they just feel that they can't get their head out of water when they're struggling and they just don't know how to, you know, go on. I'm hoping that this book will just allow them or give them the opportunity that there is light at the end of that dark tunnel. There are, as I mentioned, hidden gems all around us that we just have to open our eyes for a moment and take a look at. There is silver linings that are interwoven in things that we have that surround us that we just, again, we need to recognize. And that our children really were meant and were brought to us for a reason and a purpose. It's understanding that purpose. And it took me many, many, many years for me to understand that Olivia was one of my life's purposes, was my life purpose to do these things, to write this book, to do all the, you know, the involvement that I do with the community. It's because of her. She gives me that internal flame that ignites this willingness to want to do these things. So if anything, like I said, if it gives anybody any kind of light to keep going, to keep shining, to know that there is hope for a brighter tomorrow, then that to me is my, I guess, one of the best things ever that would come out of this book, is if it can help others.
That's one. And it will 100%. It already has. And so finally, like, what are the next steps for you? So I know a lot of the listeners here are maybe writing their book or publishing their book, or they're just super interested in your book. You have actually a really interesting way that you're promoting your book. You created a private group. It's kind of like a book club with your readers. Can you speak to that as inspiration?
Yeah. So I just, I wanted to, because there's so many people that knew me that are reading this book from everywhere, from this country, from the States, people that were, that I had met in Colorado on my Colorado journey. So it's quite the network that is being shared right now with this book. So I thought, let's create a book club, and I'm doing it through Facebook. The unfortunate part is not everybody's on Facebook, but, so this book club basically is an opportunity. It's a channel for people to speak, you know, and talk about the book. And it's a forum that anybody can share in their views and their opinions and their perspectives and what they loved about the book. So I challenge them every week with a question or a topic, and then we just chat about it. So it becomes a chat. And then again, maybe this will become an avenue for families that are struggling, you know, that maybe they can just click on and realize, oh, wow, there's other families talking about these topics. But I do, that's one thing. I mean, but I do really hope that I could soon enough start a podcast. I would really love to use any one of these chapters as topics being discussed during the podcast. I mean, I think there's so many important things here, so many important things that we discuss in the book that I think would resonate for people. And if we just create a forum for people to, you know, call in from all walks of life, from wherever they are, to be a part of it, I think that would be meaningful. So that's kind of my next step. I just have to kind of get through this first, and then I'm sure it'll pave the way into a few other opportunities.
Amazing. And I always say book marketing efforts are a marathon. It's not a sprint. And so I love that you're having an actual live book launch event as well in your local community. And you already have hundreds and hundreds of people coming, which is so exciting. And so that's a great marketing and promotion, how to get your book into the hands of people that need it approach. And how creative are you to create that Facebook book club group? And I think I should have you back on the show, and we can talk about that specifically for all the people who are thinking about that as a way to promote their books. And but today, just we wanted to talk all about your amazing new book, and it is called Shining Through: Finding the Balance Between Heartache and Hope While Raising a Child with Special Needs by Leanna Campion. And it's available today. Of course, we want to encourage people to purchase your book and also to leave a review, because reviews help others find the book and also let them know why it is that they should purchase it. So make sure, even if you're listening to this, you've already purchased the book, write your reviews, take pictures of yourself holding them. I suggest even in your group there, Leanna, to really ask everyone who has your book to go on and leave reviews, especially today, because it is your book launch today. And great news, you are already in the top 7 for multiple categories on Amazon, which is so powerful. And a lot of that has to do with the strategy of waiting, doing a pre-order, building up excitement around your book, and then having that launch all on one day, including an interview like this too. So it kind of builds that excitement and increases the amount, sheer amount of book sales on the one day, which drives up your book ranking. So that is so great. I'm so excited for you and celebrating that ranking. So if there's one final thing that you want to share with a listener, what would it be?
To never give up. To never give up, to know that there is more to life than meets the eye, and that we really have to dig deep within ourselves to really see what our purpose is. And we all, if we have a special needs child out there and we're suffering day to day, to remember that there is light at the end of that tunnel. There is something that's shining there. We just have to take an opportunity to open our eyes and look at it and see it and own it. And just to never, and learning to accept the unacceptable. And that's a big one. It's a hard pill to swallow, but it is a truly meaningful statement. Is once we've learned to accept that unacceptable, I think we see life in a different life, and we're able to appreciate things a lot more. And again, that hand, that gratitude gets fuller and fuller as we learn to accept. So it's not an easy feat, but it's definitely one that's worth all the effort.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Leanna, for being on the show and sharing your author journey. And again, grab your copy of Shining Through, Finding the Balance Between Heartache and Hope While Raising a Child with Special Needs. Such a beautiful book and so inspirational. It's available everywhere that books are available for sale. And it's so beautiful. And we're holding up the books now. They're so cute. I love the cover. And I couldn't be happier for you, Leanna. And thank you so much for sharing your vulnerability.
Thank you, Andrea. Thank you so much, everyone. Have a good one.
Thank you for joining us on another exciting episode of Bring Your Book to Life. I hope you've been inspired along your own author's journey. Now, let me ask you this. Do you have a book inside you waiting to be brought to life? As your book doula, I'm here to guide you through the process of turning your ideas and knowledge into a compelling message that will inspire the world. If you're ready to take that step and you want me to be alongside on that journey and make your book dreams come true, I invite you to visit AndreaSeidel.com and set up a Let's Bring Your Book to Life discovery call. Or if you've already written your book and you're ready to publish, I invite you to visit LiveLifeHappyPublishing.com and explore their hybrid approach to publishing and bringing your book to life. Thank you for being a part of our book-loving authorship community. Until next time, keep writing and keep sharing. Your message will make a difference and have a ripple effect on the world.